You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host each and every week right here on AAR, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Feel free to reach out to us on the broadcast this evening at 877-956-9566. We'll tease that one more time, 877-956-9566. Email me in the studio, mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or twitter.com/AARmark. First, I would like to apologize to the many of you who sent emails in and some Twitters in during the last segment. Our guest, the story was a very compelling one, and I just could not interrupt it to talk about a particular handgun or a holster or a training class. We wanted to keep that flowing, and it went very well. So if you missed that first hour, definitely go back if you were watching football, and I don't blame you if you were. But go back, definitely go back and pick that up on the podcast. That was dynamite stuff. And for those of you who might be sitting on the fence or have not yet made the decision or the purchase of a tool of self-defense or are exercising your Second Amendment rights yet, you go back and listen to that, and I'll tell you what, that'll change your minds. So thanks for joining us again on the broadcast. We are growing like a weed nationwide, and I've got some other announcements to make here. I teased it in the first hour. I'll do it again in the second, that this broadcast is going to a third hour next week on the 22nd. In the first hour, I think I made the mistake and said the 21st. It's the 22nd, Sunday the 22nd, so I apologize for that. We also have a number of new cities picking up Armed American Radio. Troy, Alabama, you are on the Armed American Radio Network. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. Welcome to the broadcast. Valdosta, Georgia, right down the road from where I'm currently standing broadcasting right now. You join three other cities in the great free state of Georgia: Griffin, Georgia, Carrollton, Georgia, and of course Atlanta. Valdosta, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome to the broadcast. Little Rock, Arkansas, welcome to Armed American Radio. Near and dear to my heart, Mountain Home was the first station that picked us up. Mountain Talk 97.1 out there in Mountain Home, Arkansas. Little Rock, you are on the Armed American Radio Network and join an ever-growing list as we grow rapidly across the country. We're growing out of our britches, so thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Okay, you know, I opened up the first hour with a quote from Mayor Daley. I just can't stomach that again. If you missed it, go back and pick it up somewhere else on a recording. I just cannot continue to quote that man. It's very, very difficult to do. Of course, he was referring to the Fort Hood shooting, and it was the fault of guns. And, you know, I mean, this guy can't. This was a terrorist attack, plain and simple, by an infiltrator in the U.S. military. A unarmed military base. It's mind-boggling. Hopefully we'll see some changes on that here real soon. But, boy, I'll tell you what, that's something else. The anti-gun groups out there have been working overtime. The Freedom States Alliance going crazy out there putting stuff out before they know what's even happening. And then when they do find out about it, they backpedal and they try to blame the weapon. Absolutely mind-boggling. We won't give them the waste of airspace tonight. It's just not going to happen. The Brady campaign doing the same thing. They're focusing on the FN. They're focusing on the gun. They're talking about what type of equipment. You know, it's just ridiculous, as if it would have mattered if it was a 45 or a 9mm. The fact of the matter was, it was a Muslim act of terrorism against the United States by a fanatic and a radical Islamist on a U.S. military base. That's a fact. That's what happened. So eat your words. Whatever you want to do, these people it's just crazy. It leaves me speechless, and that's tough to do sometimes. So we'll push forward from there. I want to read a quick email that we got during the first hour from Joseph Chetwood regarding the conversation with John Cottrell, who was telling us about the armed robbery that he was a victim of a couple of years back. Mark, since Crusader does firearms training, I get asked all the time why I carry and why someone should carry. I have a little different take than most. I'm always told that I've never felt that I need to carry. I fight back the reaction to whack them upside the head and explain something to them. I tell them that, one, if anything goes terribly wrong, like Trolley Square, where you and George ate, that I am the only one that can defend my family at a moment's notice. The other thing I explain is that if they don't think their life is worth protecting, that's up to them, but I promise you that your family deserves to have you come home at night no matter what. If I'm of the mind that there's no excuse for not doing what it takes to protect you and yours. You deserve to see your family at the end of the day, and they deserve to see you. And it doesn't matter what it takes. A little discomfort in concealing is an easy price to pay for a long and happy life with your family. That's from Joseph Chetwood. Joseph, I couldn't agree more, and have repeated time after time after time on Armed American Radio that I don't understand the mindset of the man who has no means of defending his family. That's just not something that sinks into me. I can't wrap my head around that. I just don't know what that would feel like to go to bed at night knowing that my home is defenseless. You know, if you believe that if you believe the Brinks commercials or Brinkman's or whatever they are now, that the guy's going to kick the door in and disappear when the bell goes off, well, you know, go ahead. I guess you have that prerogative. However, that's just not something that I can wrap my little brain around. Speaking of my little brain, I got a comment from somebody that called themselves Grockner. I have no idea what that means. I don't know if that's his name or not. But he referred to me, said that the program was junk, and that the broadcast, the Armed American Radio broadcast, was junk, and that the host was pompous and self-referential. Well, I can't argue with that. I am a little pompous, and I can be a little self-referential. So I'm going to be self-referential now to give Grockner his due. Armed Americans, Lessons from Armed America, you need to pick up a copy. My book, co-written with Kathy Jackson, a frequent guest on this broadcast, is now available, I understand, at BarnesandNoble.com. It's now available at Borders. I believe Books a Million, Amazon.com, and it is still the number one seller at White Feather Press. So I go out to Amazon and check out the comments. Don't take it from the author. Go out and read what people are saying about it. Of course, the foreword was written by Masad Ayoub, and Masad Ayoub will be here next week on this broadcast when we take it to our three-hour format. And believe me, he's brilliant. If you haven't heard him on here before, he's a good friend of mine, a good friend of this program. And man, I'm telling you what, every time he's on, we learn something new week after week after week. He is just so much fun to listen to. So definitely check us out next week on that. And our guest coming up right now, I'm going to go right to Phil Van Cleave. I'm running my gator a little bit too long here, but Phil Van Cleave is on with us. Phil is the head of the Virginia Citizens Defense League. Phil, welcome to Armed American Radio. I know a couple weeks back we had some problems and couldn't get you on the air, and I'm really glad to have you back on the broadcast again. Welcome to the network, my friend.
Hey, Mark. It's wonderful to be here. Yeah, I came down ill and laid down for what I thought was going to be an hour and woke up 12 hours later, jumped out of bed, and I was so upset at myself having, slept through the show being sick. So I decided that since you were gracious enough to invite me back on, that even if I got sick again and died, I'd find some way to come back from the dead to at least fill in on this hour.
Hey, Phil, come on. You can haunt this show anytime you want. You're welcome on Armed American Radio. Believe me, with all the garbage going on out there now, the flu, I just hope you didn't have that H1N1.
Well,
oh, wait a minute. That's the World Health Organization.
Something strange is going now.
Hey, listen, before we get into some of the meat and potatoes of what we want to talk about, we've got just a couple minutes. We welcomed Little Rock, Arkansas to the broadcast tonight, and we've got a call from Little Rock. John in Little Rock, Arkansas is on Armed American Radio. John, welcome to Armed American Radio. Please turn down your radio in the background if you would be so kind.
Okay.
How are you today, my friend?
Good, you?
I'm doing fantastic, and thanks very much for picking us up out there in beautiful Little Rock. I've been there many times and have eaten down in a Cajun restaurant down by that river, and it was, wow, really good.
Yeah, there's good restaurants. Hey, the guy that was in the rest stop, if he was a concealed carry, what would be the right thing to do when the feller pulled the gun on him? And the guy, and the guy was in the background with a club or whatever. What would it's such a tough situation. I mean, if he was a concealed carry, if he were to pull it, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. Phil, did you have an opportunity to listen to the first hour's broadcast?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely did from the beginning. And that was quite a story. And I'm also glad you put that on because people really need to hear what really happens. I mean, we can all imagine what it might be like to be held up. We can we can watch TV, but it's not the same as talking to the person that's really been there.
Man,
those kind of lessons are invaluable.
Amen.
And to answer the gentleman's question, first of all, it's very situational, but I can say this much. when I go into a restroom at a rest stop like that, I don't use the urinal. I'll go in a stall and close the door behind me. That way, while my back is turned, at least nobody can come right in easily, right up on top of me.
Now, see, Phil, that's preparation. What I want to do, we're getting ready to take a break. And John, I wanted to get you in here quick and welcome you in from Little Rock. It's great to be on the air down there, or I should say kind of over there, up and over there. But it's great to be on the air there, and freedom's on your airwaves, my friend. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go ahead and answer that question in detail when we come back from the break with Phil Van Cleve. Phil, hang on to that thought. We'll be right back. You are on the Armed American Radio Network.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's 3-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the 3-step plan, I saw the value of it and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy. And if we can set ourselves up in business and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, your host each and every week here on the broadcast. And freedom is ringing all across the United States. The Armed American Radio Network continues to grow. Troy, Alabama, welcome to the broadcast. Valdosta, Georgia, Little Rock, Arkansas, Florida, I'm telling you, hang in there. We're eating our way right down to that border. In fact, I'm going to be down there next week, and we're going to see what we can't make happen. New cities up in Washington, I understand, are looking at us right now, in Northern California, among others. We get surprised every day by the professionals at Salem Radio Network that are handling our broadcast, and we appreciate their help very much. 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566 if you're interested in joining the broadcast. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. Twitter.com/AARMark. Twitter.com/AARMark. And I have to admit that I'm working the Twitter off the iPhone tonight. So if you're sending anything and I'm not getting to you, bear with me. I've got to get that fixed on the actual big screen here in front of me so that I can do that instead of the small screen. We had a call come in. We're here with Phil Van Cleve, the head of the Virginia Citizens Defense League. Phil, when we were rudely interrupted by that commercial break, we had a call in here from John in Little Rock, Arkansas, our first broadcast out there tonight, who asked a good question, one that is very difficult to answer, but you were in the process of that. Can you continue with your thought?
Yeah, sure. Just briefly recapping, I was just saying that one of the first sort of preparatory things you do to try to make sure you aren't stuck in that mode is to, rather than use a urinal, go to the stall and close and lock the door behind you. That way, as you turn your back, somebody can't easily get to you. Number two, and it's an interesting situation we have in Virginia where we can open carry. And some, of course, talk about, well, the advantages of concealed carry, but open carry, too, as a position. And sometimes at night, if I'm going to a rest stop in Virginia, I'll just open carry. That sends a strong signal to everybody that sees me that I'm probably not a good person to even mess with. But if you don't have that option, then the other thing is one would be cautious as you open the door. But if you find yourself staring down the barrel of a gun, now you've got a tough situation. Generally, the idea might be to go ahead and go along with them with the idea that if things look like they're going to go downhill, you're just going to have to do whatever you can to get to your gun and draw. On the other hand, I've shown students how, with a lot of practice, I can draw from a pocket holster and draw faster than they could react. But, boy, I tell you, you're really playing with it there. You really would want to only do that as an act of desperation.
Yeah, you've got yourself in a bad situation. You know, the key that we talked about with John, and I should let you know out there that what we're talking about in the first hour, our guest was John Cottrell, who was a victim of a violent armed robbery. Two individuals, one with a revolver and one with a table leg, or some kind of stick that was not something he picked up off the ground, but it was something he brought to the party, fully planning on having a little fun. And John, who was kind enough to come into the studio with me, was able to tell us about that tonight. What, preparation, Phil, I've known John a long time, and I was shocked to find out what happened to him. And I was obviously very, very pleased that he was unharmed during that incident. And I got to tell you, the court case that I referenced about a week ago, the parallels there, the analogies that I could make were just, they were all over the place. The preparation that it takes, like you said, when you walk into the stall, go to the stall, don't use the urinal, or open carry. That's a great point, because Masad Ayoub, who will be here next week, mentioned the last time he was on the broadcast when we were talking about the Phoenix open carry incident when Obama was, half a block away or whatever the case may be. He made the comment that the open carry of a firearm is a show of force. And a criminal always comes prepared. Now, they're watching who's coming into that parking lot at night. To answer John's question, we'll kind of get to that in a second because it all ties together. But, Phil, wouldn't you agree with me that they probably would have picked somebody else?
Oh, if they just saw him carrying a gun on his hip, whoever was on the watch out would have said, in fact, let's stay cool till this guy leaves because he may be a cop.
Yeah, and here it is, midnight. These guys know what they're doing. I can assure you that this wasn't their first rodeo.
And they're not going to go after somebody that's got a gun. I mean, criminals may not be the sharpest tools in the shed. However, they're not totally dunces when it comes to their own life. And seeing that gun, why would they choose to go after somebody that they know could fight back and possibly kill them when they could wait for somebody to come along who's totally unarmed and helpless?
Well, you know, that's something that we'll probably never know. Well, we will never know the answer to regarding the scenario we were talking with John about. However, we do know what some of the statistics are, and we have talked to criminals. Dr. Bruce Eimer has been here. We've had criminologists on this broadcast. Bill Oliver, who spent 25 years in the worst penal system in the country out in California, working as a clinical psychologist, I believe. I hope I got that right. I'll correct that if I'm wrong on his title. But, you know, he's the one that came on here, and he's actually in our demo tape. And he says, you know, that prisons are the Yale and Harvard. So we know that criminals are, you know, the odds are or would have been in John's favor had he openly displayed that firearm if it were legal in his state to do so.
I've had an experience with that myself. My best friend and a board member in ZCDL, Dennis O'Connor, and I were walking in downtown Suffolk, and this was at night. This was like 11 o'clock, and it's not the best place in the world, but we decided to go for a walk, and we were both open carrying. And somebody was walking up the street the other way. Somebody dressed, looked basically in gang-type clothes, the whole bit, baggy clothes. He saw us up from the other side of the street. He reached up under his shirt and put his hand there in a really weird position and then proceeded to cross the street right at us in a diagonal that would basically intersect right where we were. Dennis dropped back when he saw it. We didn't say a word. Dennis just automatically dropped back, and I guess I became the guinea pig. And I kept walking forward, and Dennis was behind me about 5, 6, 7, 8 feet. And this guy was just looking at me really intensely. I just knew that this something was going to happen, that sixth sense. And as soon as he got close enough, he looked down, and he saw that gun on my side, which I didn't touch. He just saw the gun, saw Dennis's gun, and everything changed. Everything changed. He didn't want to look at me anymore. He looked anywhere but at me, and he walked down the street like nothing was going on at all and disappeared. But Dennis and I both knew that by him seeing that gun, it avoided us actually probably having to get in a position where somebody was probably going to get shot.
Phil, you've actually told that story on this broadcast before. And I have found myself, when I'm carrying a gun, I think one of the lessons to be learned from that is what you notice when, in fact, you are armed versus what you notice when you are not armed.
You don't want to notice things when you're not armed.
You're right. And psychologically, I think that has a little bit to do with it. You know, sometimes we bobble through our lives and we don't really pay that much attention. But, you know, I can remember some personal experiences in my life. One in New Orleans in particular, walking down the streets of New Orleans late at night on my way back to a hotel. And I was armed. And I remember seeing two or three people across the street that when I came around the corner, they started to do their little dance. One jumped over to one side, one the hood went up, and another one started walking over, and I knew I was being set up to get rolled. So because I was prepared, I got out of Dodge. I saw the signs of it because I was paying attention, and those of us who have made a decision to carry a firearm for our personal defense tend to see stuff like that more so, I think, than folks who don't. Phil, hang on. We're going to be right back, and I'll tell you what. Oh, I don't know, maybe about 4 or 5 seconds. Yeah, we'll call it quits. We'll come back with Phil Van Cleve here in just a second. I'll move on to the other topic when we get back. You're on the Armed American Radio Network.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Annie Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
We are back on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Every week, 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566. Mark at armedamericanradio.org, twitter.com/AARMark. And we've got a couple emails here, and then we're going to get with Phil on some really fun stuff. I should apologize. I probably confused you going into that break on the way out before we got to the actual break there when the music was playing. I actually had a quote up in front of me that I wanted to read that had some parallels there with the discussion we were having about John's situation in South Carolina, and I decided we didn't have enough time, and so I blew that. I apologize. But we'll laugh it off. Phil, welcome back to Armed American Radio. I got some things. We'll move away from that. I hope we answered John's question in Little Rock. Very difficult to answer because we weren't there and we can only speculate. Phil, let's turn to politics for a minute, okay?
All right.
There's a report out today, it's been out for quite a while, that the Obama administration, of course, Hillary Clinton stepped up to the plate and said that they were reversing the Bush-era policies regarding the NRA's attempt to backdoor the U.S. Constitution and the Second Amendment. And, of course, our socialist-in-chief is going to just walk right down the road with him because that's what he's all about. Let's break this down for a second and talk about what this means, okay? When we have, although we have firm Democratic control in the House and the Senate right now, obviously, they're ramming health care down our throats and everything else. They're nationalizing and socializing everything they can get their hands on. when it comes to this this United Nations treaty, the small arms treaty that we're referring to, it's an obvious attempt to backdoor the U.S. Constitution. Now, I believe that Obama knows that even though he has Democrat control, firm control, at least for now, that's going to change, but that he has firm control. A lot of these Democrats are conservative. They are supporters of gun rights to a certain extent, some of them. Some of them simply support, like Harry Reid, gun rights because he knows he's going to lose his job, but he doesn't have any firm convictions. I don't believe he does anyway. And our listeners out in Reno, you guys know a lot more than me that this guy's, you know, his poll numbers are down the drain right now. But the fact of the matter is, Phil, that a lot of these Democrats, and Obama knows it, are not going to vote for gun control legislation right now.
Right.
So tell us what the impact of the United Nations Small Arms Treaty is going to have, because there was some pretty scary stuff out there about that today.
Well, it's hard to know exactly. I can say that my understanding from talking to several people about these treaties is that even so, it's still going to take ratification before he just can't sign away certain things dealing with our constitutional rights. But the question comes in, you know, what might happen if indeed such a treaty is put before the Senate. And that's, you know, that's an unknown. We shouldn't be going there, and that's one thing Bush did right. He made it clear he had no interest in going down the road of dealing with the UN on guns. So it's going to be, it's something we definitely need to watch like a hawk. This there is some potential real mischief there.
Yeah, let's repeat it again. You got to sleep with one eye open. In fact, it's getting about the time you got to start sleeping with both eyes open.
Well, what do you mean sleep?
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah, it's. I guess you're right. It is getting to that point because, you know, my opinion, for whatever it is worth, I believe that the 2010 elections, and we saw this. So let's kind of transition there for a second. We saw some really fun things happen in Virginia a few Tuesdays ago, and, of course, you're in Virginia. And what can you tell us about what that means? What are your personal opinions on what that means? Not what the pundits are saying, but what does Phil Van Cleve and the VCDL think?
Well, yeah, we were pleased with the elections. We ended up getting three pro-gun people at the very top, the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. All three answered the VCDL survey. All three have been pro-gun. The governor-elect did have a few little blemishes in his past on some votes years and years ago, but he
has seen the light.
He's kind of seen the light, I believe. I believe he's been educated over time a little bit more. You know, being a legislator, there's so much that comes in front of you. It's hard to be an expert on everything, but I think he's definitely seen the light on guns, and so hopefully so. Also, We took a delegate that was extremely anti-gun, that was on some key committees and would always vote wrong. You could bet your life on it. He lost to somebody that filled out the VCDL survey 100%, as I can recall. So this was 100% reversal from an F to an A, you know, basically. And that's a strong signal. And five other people, there were actually four besides him, that the antis were counting on to quote unquote close the gun show loophole, which is really nothing more than registering all private sales of guns. Five of those people lost their seats, and although they may not have been replaced in some cases by somebody all that much better, still basically I think they really got hit in the teeth in Virginia. The anti-gunners did.
Yeah, they did. They definitely took one in the knees and got knocked down a couple pegs, and they're upset about it. You know how you know they're always upset about it? They're always coming back saying that they actually won. You know?
Oh yeah. Well, no, they.
You gotta love that one.
their agenda on gun shows, I think, is at this point. I think I was quoted somewhere basically said DOA and with rigor mortis setting in.
Well, you know, these are the same people that say snowstorms are caused by global warming. I mean, for crying out loud, they're twisting history books. They're talking about the weather, and you know, I mean, they're doing everything they can.
The means for them. For us, it doesn't. But for them, the ends justifies the means. Lying, cheating, whatever. It doesn't matter as long as they get what they want.
Well, I think that you know, I didn't state my opinion yet. I'm going to now. I think that what we saw in Virginia a few weeks back was indicative, obviously, of what's going to happen in 2010. I believe, personally, that it was as predictable as the day is long when Obama was elected. Obama was elected. Charles Krauthammer, a Fox News contributor, wrote an absolutely outstanding column about why Obama was actually elected, and it was a perfect storm lineup, and he fell right into place. You had the anti-Bush media bashing him at every twist and turn. You had, in addition to the anti-Bush media, you had the Republican Party fracturing with way too much spending. We could go on to it forever, but the perfect storm lined up, and Obama found himself elected. You know, I look at the pictures of him today bowing to foreign leaders and that don't bow back, you know, round two of this kind of amateurish, you know, Bush League behavior, to, no pun intended. But, you know, we've got a guy in office that's so far in over his head, it's not even funny. And I think Virginia was indicative of what's going to happen in 2010. And my own personal opinion is that he's going to get a spanking like he's never seen before and might pop out of that ego that he's got, because I still don't think he can see past his own ego and his own narcissism. But
yeah,
he's going to wake up.
Had he attacked guns, which he hasn't, he's been standing clear of that so far, any direct attacks. There hasn't been anything. In fact, he signed a bill that on February 22nd, Virginia without a permit, you'll be able to carry in national parks.
Right.
But I think had he attacked guns, you would have even seen a stronger backlash in Virginia. You would have seen even more of these guys pushed out because, as it is, gun owners are watching, but, you know, waiting for the shoe to drop, but it hadn't dropped. And, you know, we're seeing all kinds of things, all kinds of shadows moving out there, but nothing firm. And that would have even been a bigger indicator. The mood continues in this country to be strongly pro-gun. You're seeing a massive change. In fact, the antis, I think, out of desperation, one of our anti-gun newspapers paid to have a survey, a poll done. And the poll said that 80% of Virginians want to close the quote-unquote gun show loophole, which is absolutely ridiculous, and saying that we want more gun control in Virginia. Yet five other polls done nationally by large organizations show that actually the interest in gun control is at an all-time low in this nation, down
it
lower
is,
than it's ever been.
Phil, it is. And we're going to talk about that. This is a fascinating part of the political discussion, and we'll continue this right after these messages. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. Stick around. We'll be right back after these messages.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Mark, my wife and I are responsible armed Americans, and we travel 1,000 miles one way between Mountain Home, Arkansas and Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. My wife has been carrying for only a month now, and my CCP is on its way, but it's the very fact of the last guest we decided to carry. We have 6 children and my wife's handicapped brother to protect. That's from Brian in Mountain Home, Arkansas. And, yeah, you know, Phil, that's the impact this stuff has. We're back on the Armed American Radio Network. My mind's going crazy here. I've got a lot of emails coming in, and I'm just not going to have enough time to get to them. I apologize to everybody that's trying to get through, but we're going to another hour next week, and I want to finish up with Phil on politics. Phil, when we went into the last break, I was getting ready to tell you, you know, my thoughts on 2010 coming up, and I think what you're going to see is I think you're going to see this administration get a big, fat spanking, and unfortunately, I think that's when they're going to realize, and the narcissist in chief is going to understand, hey, I'm really not the Messiah, and the advisors are going to start getting through to him and bring him down a couple pegs, in his case, a couple hundred pegs, and he's going to wake up and he's going to say, man, okay, my reelection in 2012 is not a shoe-in, and I'm going to tell you it's not a shoe-in, and he's going to start, that's when you're going to start seeing this socialist agenda really go into full gear. Am I wrong?
Well, it's hard to say. Yeah, he'll either completely misread this, which is very likely, and absolutely go the wrong direction with it, or he may actually hold steady for the next election, and then he could open the floodgates when he has nothing to lose, since he won't be elected a third term. So I don't know.
He won't be elected a third term?
He can't be. So I'm saying maybe in the second term, if he gets a second term, he might then really open the floodgates.
But he's Obama. He third term.
Yeah, well,
they'll just rewrite the Constitution.
My bet is if the rate he's going, he'll end up being a Jimmy Carter.
I'm feeling that too, and you know, there's no love lost out there with me. I mean, everybody, my position's out there. You know, if there's a government list, for crying out loud, I'm on it. But you know, you are too.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the crowd. You've had your tussles with those folks. Hey, I understand that you have a Virginia VCDL member. that had a question and wanted to talk about unarmed military. Can we squeeze it in? The answer to that is yes. Let's squeeze it in.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, as you know, Virginia's got a lot of military bases. We got tons of them here, and we got a lot of great people that serve in the military. And so many people that are both in the military and outside were upset by that horrible shooting that happened at Fort Hood. And a lot of people didn't realize that the military, basically, they walk around unarmed on their own bases. Our bases, believe it or not, are soft targets. They're not much better than a high school or anything else, as people found out the hard way. And basically, I mean, our position on this is it's absolutely ludicrous. These people, you either believe in them. You know, we're always thanking the soldiers for what they're doing for us. But, you know, the people that are doing that but aren't letting them protect their own lives when they're on a base are just doing lip service and wasting everybody's time. If you truly believe these people are making huge sacrifices, and we do in Virginia, certainly VCDL does, we see it all the time, then why can't these people protect themselves? I mean, you expect a soldier carrying a weapon that the weapon's armed. And you expect if somebody comes on a military base that he'll be looking down the barrel of 50 guns that are pointed at him from the various people in the military.
Every jihadist in the world now knows that American military personnel on their home bases are unarmed.
Yeah, Phil, now they're in real danger.
That's really true. The floodgates have been opened. Okay, look, let's call what happened. Let's tell it what it is. I absolutely loved to see the Freedom States Alliance and the Brady campaign come out. I mean, within minutes, these guys were all over their propaganda machines, were working overtime, telling us what was going on and blaming the FN and the cop killer gun and all this garbage that they talk about.
They wait to dance in blood. They wait by the phone, just on the TV, waiting for something so they can go dancing in blood just to try to justify their stupid gun control.
Oh, you better believe it. They all qualify for boneheads.
On the backs of our military.
Well, let's tell everybody, because I spent time in Virginia Beach. I have ties in Virginia, very close friends. My family, I have family living up in Manassas. I graduated college in southwestern Virginia at Radford University a long time ago. But I have a lot of friends on those military bases, and I knew some pilots over at Oceana. And it's kind of near and dear to my heart, too. But let's tell people, most folks don't know, or who don't have any affiliation with anybody in the military, don't know what a base really is. It's a city.
Yeah.
It is a city with shopping areas, neighborhoods. It has its own MP police department, okay?
It's a city more akin to Washington, D.C., in the sense that all the citizens run around unarmed and only the MPs are running around with guns. And even some of them don't always have a loaded gun.
Well, you have to ask yourself this question. I don't mean this you. I say this rhetorically, but you have to ask yourself this question, folks. Do you, and this was posed last week, and it was brilliant. Don't you think that some of those 13 brave men and women who were slain by a terrorist wouldn't have wanted the opportunity to defend themselves? These were combat veterans, for crying out loud, number one. And number two, Paul Helmke, boy, he really did it. This guy steps on his tongue all the time, and I love it. Of course, the mainstream media never brings it out, but he was quoted in his press release, Phil. And if you've got a computer in front of you, pull it up, and it says, "We have seen too many of these shootings in churches, synagogues, schools, universities, and on down the line. Every single one of them an unarmed, quote-unquote, gun-free zone." Well, no kidding, Paul Helmke. Holy crap. Let me whack myself in the head.
Yeah, but see, somehow they either think we're so stupid that we can't piece that together, or they're so stupid that they don't even realize what all this really means, other than that they hate guns and that that's all there is to it, that because they can't be trusted because of their temperament with guns, that we can't be trusted in the same manner. It's a crazy world. And it's all the more reason we need to stand up and fight. And I'll tell you, if there's anything we could do, and I don't know what VCDL could do, but I mean, if there's something we could do to somehow get our military people to be able to carry guns on bases to protect themselves, I'd love to do it.
Well, I find it very difficult to believe that some of those folks in the military are comfortable with that policy. Now, it's unfortunate that this administration is in place right now, because God only knows. Well, you know, God does know. We all know what the answer to that's going to be. But you know, hey, like you said, this is still we still have a pro-gun majority in the House. We still have a pro-gun majority in the Senate, regardless of its partisan makeup, and regardless of the fact that it's pro-gun simply because these people, they don't have any convictions, okay?
Yeah.
They're concerned about their jobs. Let's just, you know, it's laughable.
The majority, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's laughable. Phil, I know you listen to the broadcast from time to time, and you're a regular, you know, you're welcome on here all the time. Anytime you want to come on, simply pick the phone up. But we have adopted a member of the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit, Samuel Rouse, and we talk about Samuel every week on this broadcast. In fact, you can pick it up at armedamericanradio.org and go up and hit the America's Heroes tab, and you'll see an amazing photo of him and his unit, the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit. And you check that out. There's an address in there, and I know that our listeners across the United States, Phil, are sending stuff to him, and it's coming up on the holidays, ladies and gentlemen. Please, please, please do your part. Go and check on that tab. We've asked his father to give us updates, and he is kind enough to do that every week. Phil, he had a question for you. I'll pose that second. I just want to let everybody know that communication with Samuel is kind of tough right now. They haven't heard from him in a little bit, but he is getting the stuff that we're sending to him, so, and his unit, and he is sharing it with his unit. You know, and it's just never been more important than it is now. These guys are fighting the jihadis who want you and your family dead, and that's what they want. They want you dead. They want Americans dead. They want this country gone. And Phil, he in his second email to me tonight, he said he had a question for you, and there's nobody better to answer this than you, leading what I consider to be the best grassroots organization in the country. I've only got about 50 seconds to let you go with this, but what can people do at the grassroots level to get involved in the Second Amendment battle? Phil, real quick.
Well, the main thing is find out who in your state is your grassroots organization. And basically get in touch with them and get active. And if you can't get in touch with them, just get active. Open your eyes, do what you can. Here in Virginia, we're going to have Lobby Day. We're hoping to Martin Luther King Day, January 18th. Show up at the General Assembly at 9 a.m. We're going to have Lobby Day. And we're going to have, you know, hopefully hundreds or maybe even 1,000 people there. That's what will make a great difference in any state legislature. Flood them with people.
Phil, you run probably, I've always considered the VCDL to be, you're the stalwart there. You guys were there. You guys know what you're doing, and a lot of other groups are patterned after you. You've got the Buckeye Firearms Association in Ohio. You got VCDL in Virginia. You've got Georgia Carry in Georgia doing just an unbelievable job. Phil, thank you so much for joining us on Armed American Radio. You're welcome back anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, next week on the Armed American Radio Network, the master himself, Masoud Ayoob, will be back. He's a great friend of this broadcast, a good friend of mine, and his information is always timeless and brilliant. So make sure you join us next week here on the Armed American Radio Network. Valdosta, Georgia, welcome to the broadcast. Little Rock, Arkansas, your prescription has been filled. You're on the network. Boy, I'm telling you, Troy, Alabama, Valdosta, Little Rock, welcome. It's really fun. There's more to come. We'll see you next week on the Armed American Radio Network.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby. Like a dog.